Welcome to the Torati Mechanech Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Tesayin, Chapter 16. We left David running away from Yerushalayim after the merit of Shalom, the revolt of Avshalom. Avshalom is in Hebron with 200 important people and Achitophel, who is the wise man who is giving him advice, and David is running away. This Perek begins with a tragic side story. Pasuk Aleph 1. V'David avar ma'at meharosh. David has left the top of the mountain where he had been overlooking Yerushalayim, the city that he was leaving. V'hine, and behold, with a surprise, Tziva na'ar Mephibosheth l'krasai. Tziva, the servant of Mephibosheth, is coming to meet him. It's a surprise that out of all the people who would come, it is Tziva, and he is bringing chamarim, donkeys, with bread and wine and raisins and figs. We have met Tziva before, when David was looking for descendants of Shaul. He met Tziva, who told him about a lame Mephibosheth, and David had told Tziva that he was going to be responsible for taking care of all of Mephibosheth's property. He gave Mephibosheth more property and invited him to sit by the table, by his table, always. Tziva, as we spoke about, had tried to put down Mephibosheth already before, and it should have given David a little bit indication that perhaps he should be wary about accepting everything that Tziva says. The Malbim says, this is amazing kashkacha. David needed food, and there's no one who would dare bring him the food because the people of Yerushalayim had either run away from Avshalom, were scared of him, or were supporting him. But Tziva was the perfect solution, because if he was caught, if Tziva was caught bringing food, he would blame it on Mephibosheth and say Mephibosheth had sent him, and then Mephibosheth might be killed by Avshalom and his people, and that's ultimately what Tziva would have liked. Or, if he wasn't caught, then he could play out the plan of pretending to be loyal to David and pretending that Mephibosheth was not loyal to David, as we are going to see it playing out now in the Psukim. What Mephibosheth is trying to do is to align himself as if he is on David's side, and to pretend that Mephibosheth is not, so that David will trust Tziva and not Mephibosheth, as indeed happens. This story is a very scary one for us, because the pasuk says, "Ki hashechad ya'aver divrei chachamim." Bribery distorts our vision, even if we are very wise. And here, David is going to accept the lashon hara for a camel, a couple of donkey loads of food. And it makes us have to ponder how careful we have to be before hearing what people say and accepting what they're saying as truth, especially if it's someone who is doing something good for us. David asks the obvious question, "What is this? Why are you here?" And then in Pasuk Gimel 3, "Vayemer Hamelech ve'ayei ben adonecha," where is Mephibosheth? Where is the son of your master? Why are you here alone? "Vayemer Tziva el Hamelech." Hine, Yoshev b'Yerushalayim. Mephibosheth has returned to Yerushalayim. Ki amar hayoyim yashivu li beis Yisrael es mamlechus avi. What he is saying, now this is not true, but what Tziva is saying about Mephibosheth is that he went back to Yerushalayim because he is saying, today, B'nai Yisrael are going to give me back my rulership, my kingdom, my monarchy. Remembering Mephibosheth is the son of Yehonasan, who is the son of Shaul. And what Tziva is implying here is that Mephibosheth is saying that after this revolt is over and Avshalom is going to kill David, the people are going to be horrified by what he did and will be tired of the drama of Beis David and say, it's time to go back to the family of Shaul. And Mephibosheth is hoping to get his kingdom back. Again, this is not true. This is what Tziva is telling David, and David unfortunately accepts it in Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer HaMelech leTziva. The king says to Tziva, Hine l'cha kol asher l'mephibosheth. Everything that I have given to Mephibosheth, I'm now giving to you. Now, this is conditional, meaning that David doesn't have any power of melucha now to be giving anything to anyone. However, what he's saying is, if what you say is true, that when I do have the ability and strength to look into it, I will give you everything that belongs to Mephibosheth. And this explains Tziva's response, which is, Emtzachein be'enecha adani hamelach. May I find favor in your eyes, your majesty the king, meaning in the future, when you will look into the story, I should continue to find favor in your eyes. There's just a nice side point here brought by the Dasein from is that this is the first indication we get that David believes that he will be king one day. And that's the end for now of the story of Tziva. There seems to be a connection of that story and what happens next. Another side tale here. Pasuk 5, Vihine Misham, and from a place called Bahurim, Ish Yotze Mimishpachas Beishol, a man is coming out from the family of Beis Shaul, meaning a relative of Shaul, Ushmal Shimi ben Gera Yotze Yotzei Umekalel. A man by the name of Shimi ben Gera is coming out, and he is cursing. He is cursing David. Either he's coming because he is upset that he just heard that David gave over Mephibosheth's land, or it's an immediate reaction, from a divine reaction, for David for being mekabel, for accepting the Lashon Hara. It's also an extra validation for David that Tziva's words must be true. It seems like the whole family of Shaul is now against him. The whole Binyamin is standing up against David. Who was the Shimi ben Gera? He was a great person, a member of Sanhedrin, and ultimately becomes Shlomo HaMelech's teacher. This is the caliber of person who stood against David, and it gives us an indication of what he must have been feeling at this time, that everyone is coming out against me, and great people too. And here comes Shimi ben Gera, and he is cursing, and he is throwing stones. And what is he saying in Pasuk Zayin, number 7? V'choy amar Shimi b'kalalai, tzei tzei ish hadamim v'ish habili'al. Go out, you murderer, you horrible person, ish habili'al, you man, you're immoral person. Why did he call him a murderer? Although everyone by now knew that not only did David not kill anyone from Beis Shaul, he even punished those who did, but it is still implied that had David not been there, then perhaps Shaul would still be around. He's also blaming him for the death of Avner, the death of Ishbosheth. He's even blaming him for the death of Nov Ir HaKohanim, saying that Shaul was the one who had the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim killed out, but that was because they were helping David. All of this tragedy, all of this death would have been avoided, David, had you not been here. And he's calling him a Belial, which is a term used for someone who is nichshal, somebody who has made a mistake in the area of immorality, bringing up the story of Bathsheba and the death of Uriah. Tzei, tzei, go out of Yerushalayim, go out of Eretz Yisrael, or go out of this world, go out of the next world. At the end, we'll see Shimi is going to be punished by David's son Shlomo, who will forbid him from going out of Yerushalayim, and when he does, he himself, Shimi, is going to be killed. In Pasuk Ches, Heshiv Alecha Hashem Kol Dmei Beis Shaul Asher Malachta Tachtav. Hashem should return on your head all the blood of Beis Shaul that you ruled under him, that you took over his melucha. And in three ways, it's going to be worse for you than it was for Shaul. Vayiten Hashem es hamelucha. It's clear that it's Hashem who's giving the melucha here. It's clear it's coming from Hashem as a divine retribution and not from a person. Biyad Avshalom Benecha. He's giving it to the hands of Avshalom, your son, and this is a public embarrassment for you. Vehincha b'ra'asecha. And you have to watch it. You have to see it. You are in this evil time. You're seeing the devastation. Shaul didn't. Shaul was dead by the time somebody took over. And you are seeing it. You have to live through this. Why? Ki ish damimata. You are a murderer. In Pasuk Tes Avishai, he says, why should this Mered b'malchus, why should this rebel, he calls him a dead dog, be allowed to live? Let me kill him. But in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, David, here he is called Melech, because he is an ultimate Melech. He is not just a Melech, a king over the Jewish nation. He is a king over himself. He has control over himself. He says, do not kill him. Do not take off his head. He's saying, this is clearly coming from Hashem, and I have to accept it, and I'm not going to kill him. There's an interesting piece here that David looks into the future and he sees that from Shimi is going to come a very important, two very important people for our history, and that is Mordechai and Esther from the Purim story. As we see, Mordechai is called Mordechai ben Ya'ir ben Shimi ben Kish. He is a descendant of Shimi, and he says, I can't kill Shimi now because he still has to have these children who are eventually going to lead us to Mordechai. And the Yalkut Shimoni says that the reason that Mordechai is called an Ish Yehudi, even though he is from Binyamin, is because David from Yehuda saved his life. So he is We remember this little piece of the story every time we read the Megillah. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, he has to explain why he is not killing, why he is not going to kill Shimei, because if we remember from Shmuel Aleph, one of the reasons that Shaul is going to be designated as not worthy of being a king is that because he doesn't stand up to the people who are against him, who work against him. At the time of his coronation, when people disparaged him, he didn't react, and this was a mistake. The king must stand up for himself. But here he says this is different. Vayomer David al Avishai v'al kol avadav, Hinei b'ni asher yatza mimei mevakeshes nafshi, my own son that has come for me, he's trying to kill me. Va'af ki ata ben hayamini. So obviously it makes sense that this person who is from Binyamin, hanichulai, let him go. V'yikalel, and let him curse. Ki amar le Hashem, everything comes from Hashem. And if everything comes from Hashem, now is not the right time to take retribution, to take revenge. At the end, he will. We'll see. But right now, it's not going to happen. The Zohar says that what Shimei ben Gera did to him was worse than any of the Yisurim, any of the difficulties he had suffered up to this point. And it caused him to return in tshuva shlema. He did real tshuva. It broke his heart. And he cried many tears. And this is what he says in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Ulai yireh Hashem. Maybe Hashem will see, and then there is a kri uksiv, which means that the word is written differently than it is said. It is written ba'oni, in my travails and my tribulations, or maybe Hashem will see ve'eni, in my eyes. He'll see the tears of my eyes. Ve'heshiv Hashem li toiva tachas kelalasei hayom hazeh, and he'll do for me a good instead of this terrible curse which he has done for me. David says, I know that I sinned, and I know what my punishment has to be, and I'm getting my punishment, but this is extra. This wasn't part of the formula, and therefore, this must be a different type of Yisurim. These are called Yisurim Shel Ahava, which will bring me a tremendous benefit if I accept these difficulties that are coming from Hashem, and I say, Hashem, whatever you send my way, I am accepting it, and I am accepting it with love, and hopefully Hashem will see this, and he'll hear he'll hear my tefillos and he'll see my tshuva. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, they continue walking. Shimei continues cursing. And now we leave David and we return to Avshalom to see what is going on here. We have had this interlude of Shimei ben Gera, which gives David that extra bit of merit that he needs to overcome the terrible threat of Avshalom. And we'll see the story begin to turn. In the last parak, David HaMelech's friend, whose name was Hushai Ha'arki, came to help David. And David sent him back to Avshalom, and he said, you should be my spy. You go back to Yerushalayim and see what Avshalom is doing and send me messages and see if you can help me from inside. Vayi, and it was in Pasuk Tzayin, Kasher ba Hushai Ha'arki, Re'a David el Avshalom, when the friend of David, Hushai Ha'arki, again, what a beautiful expression that the Torah calls him a true friend. When the friend of David, Hushai Arki, came to Avshalom, Vayomer Hushai al Avshalom, and Hushai said to Avshalom, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king, long live the king. He doesn't say long live the king Avshalom, he just says long live the king. Of course, he's thinking about David. And in Psukim Yud Zayin through Yud Tes 17 to 19, Avshalom asks him why he has abandoned his friend. Why did you leave David and come to me? And Hushai says, firstly, it seems like both Hashem and the nation has chosen you, and therefore I have too. And in Pasuk Yud Tes 19, Asher avadati lifnei avicha, kein eheye lifanecha. The way I served your father, I will serve you too. Meaning what he's saying is, this is for the good of David as well. You are his son. He is old, and it makes sense that you should take over. I am before you so that I can serve you, not just the same way I served your father, but this is continuing to serve your father and do the good for him because I am serving his son. These words were certainly pleasing to Avshalom, who needed this extra bit of validation. I'm not doing anything so terrible. I'm just doing what's natural, taking over from my father, who is not trusted anymore by the people, and he's getting old. He should feel like he is doing the right thing. It's ironic that Avshalom, the master at entrapping people with his mouth, here he gets trapped by Hushai. In Psukim Chaf to Chaf Gimel 20 to 23, we have one of the most difficult parts of the entire merit of Shalom. It's devastating and difficult to understand. What happens is that Avshalom turns to Achitophel and he says, what should I do now? And Achitophel says to Avshalom that there are still people in Klal Yisrael who are questioning whether they should support you. They feel like at the end of the day, you will reconciliate with your father and they will be the ones who are left out in the cold. They'll be the ones who have worked against of it, and they'll be the ones that are punished after you and your father reconciliate, which is not unrealistic because there has already been a reconciliation between them. So he says, go and do something that is going to make it impossible for you and your father to ever get back together again. Now, as part of the punishment of David, it was told to him that his wives would be taken by someone else. And here, Achitophel is telling Avshalom, you be the one to do so. Take the pilakshim of your father. Now, again, pilakshim are women who are have a quasi marriage. So these were people who were quasi married to David and have relations with these women. And Avshalom on the roof goes and has relations with these women in front of the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Now, this is multiple, as we can understand, problems of for Avshalom for what he did, meaning there was no justification for what he did, even though it was part of the punishment. Avshalom had no right to go and do what he did. He's doing it on the gag, on the roof. If you remember that the original sighting of Bathsheba by David was on a roof, so there's a bit of a Mida keneged Mida. There's a hint to David about why this is happening, but it's a terrible, terrible thing that Avshalom does here. He listens to the etzah, to the idea, to the advice of Achitophel, and he does this terrible act. Now, we want to understand how he could possibly do something that, how could he possibly accept such a terrible suggestion? And the answer is given to us in Pasuk Chaf Gimel in verse 23. The idea, the advice of Achitophel that he gave in those days, perhaps up until this day, was Kasher Yishal Ish B'dvar Ha'elokim came call Atzas Achitophel. Whenever Achitophel would give a suggestion, if they would ask the Sanhedrin after or the Urim V'Tumim after, they would find that Achitophel was always right. He never gave the wrong idea. He never gave the wrong suggestion. Gamla David, Gamla Avshalom. Achitophel had a perfect track record up until this time to always give the right advice. Here he gave the wrong advice. He also, in the next parak, he's going to give Avshalom the advice to try and kill David. Had he given him the advice in this parak, perhaps the story would have come out differently. But here he gives him advice that is devastating, terrible advice for Avshalom, which Avshalom is going to listen to, which is going to have implications, of course, going forward. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui nishmot imoten ha'yikorot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Shalom, and Sarah Shenker, Allah Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generation.